He's got a beautiful backswing.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the 73rd Hole. Colby Powell and Taylor Williams with you on a Wednesday, getting you ready for the Workday Charity Open. That's right. It's not the John Deere Classic. It's been moved to Muirfield Village in Ohio, Jack's Place, which will host back-to-back PGA Tour events, both without fans. As we mentioned on Monday, as the Memorial now will not have fans as well. Make sure you hit us up on social media. Search 73rd Hole. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, search 73rd Hole. Always the best place to find these links. We get those out as soon as we get this recorded, typically on Mondays and Wednesdays, recapping the previous week's action, and then coming back on Wednesday to preview the upcoming week. So we will get to everything that's going to take place this week at the Workday Charity Open. We will give you winners. 3 weeks in a row, I've had money on the winner. Now, I'm not betting one guy each week. I'm betting several each week. But 3 weeks in a row, I've had money on the winner. So we'll try to keep that streak alive as well. Give you a lot of good DraftKings value plays and everything of the sort. But first, Taylor, we need to talk about a big tournament that will not be taking place at the end of September. We had planned briefly, tentatively, to have in back-to-back weeks the U.S. Open and the Ryder Cup. The U.S. Open is staying put. The Ryder Cup is not. It is kind of the one event in golf that you really can't have without fans, as we've heard and listened to the players over the past couple months. And as we found out last night, Ryder Cup's going to be postponed. So no Ryder Cup this year. We'll do it in 2021. President's Cup will move back to even years. And no team event this year.
Yeah, it's kind of what we expected with obviously the corona and everything that's going on. Unfortunately, we had talked about in some of our previous shows, if they weren't able to have fans, it really wouldn't do it justice not to have the event, just because that's what makes it. It's the one event besides the 16th hole at Scottsdale where you can boo someone and be and not be an issue or be not unsportsmanlike, that type of thing. So for them to postpone it, it's definitely the right thing to do. But unfortunately for us golf fans, it's not going to be fun not having a team event to watch this year. But on the flip side of that, with them backloading the schedule since everything got postponed, I don't think we're not going to be lacking for entertainment golf wise at least. But it does suck to not have a team event. And at the same time, we had proposed your idea. You were the first one to mention it, but the logistics behind it probably just weren't there. But if we could have had the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup in the same year, and then had the Ryder Cup start back again in 2022 and just have everything flow as normal, that would have been better for us fans, as opposed to what they're doing now with just pushing everything back a year. But at the same time, especially with the U.S. hosting the Ryder Cup here, we want the U.S. fans there.
Yes.
And if we can't have the full capacity of fans and people being able to get out there and cheer like they want to, it just shouldn't happen. And unfortunately, even though we were getting better, spikes have increased around the country and around the world in a lot of areas. So this is the right smart thing to do. Just not the best thing from a viewer's perspective. But at the same time, we'll have three majors in the span of from August to November. So
and the FedEx Cup playoffs
and the FedEx Cup,
bunch more events sprinkled in between. So I don't think we're gonna be lacking for good quality golf.
I think we just one of the things that's upsetting for us is there was when it first got. Set out, it was going to be the U.S. Open and then the Ryder Cup back-to-back weeks. And that was going to be...
Which was like, ugh.
That was going to be...
like taking your golf schedule and giving it cocaine.
Well, yeah, exactly. So that would have been 10 days of or 11 straight days of just like the best golf, I mean, ever. I mean, you know, those are the two
U.S. Open Wingfoot, Ryder Cup Whistling Straits, back-to-back weeks?
Because, I mean...
That was going to be incredible.
For us, and this is something we could debate on, you know, Colby, for us golf fans who watch tournaments, even the majors, you know, we've discussed ways, you know, how could the PGA Championship kind of get up in that upper echelon? Because, you know, the other three majors kind of separate themselves from each other. So from...
They've all got something that's just so unique, and then the PGA Championship just feels like another event that's tagged as a major.
Exactly. And the point I'm trying to make here is that for us U.S. fans, it's almost like the Ryder Cup has more implications than even a PGA Championship does, which is the fourth major. So it's honest. It's a top five event, golf event, if not a top four event at worst. So to have it, to not have it the year that we do, it stinks and it's not fun. But at the same time, a lot of things in the world are getting changed up. So it's, like I said, the biggest event I would consider, I consider it even probably more than the PGA Championship, just from a viewer's perspective. So while it stinks, at the same time, it's best to not, if they're not going to be able to do it the right way with the fans, they made the right decision this time.
Yeah, I think the only difference between the Ryder Cup and the PGA is an American has a really good chance to win the PGA Championship. So that's kind of the biggest difference, I feel like.
And that might be why, and which is kind of the opposite of why we like, because, you know, it's like human instinct. You always want what you can't have, you know?
Yes.
And so you always want more. And when you
like, for example, a Ryder Cup victory for the Americans.
Exactly. We get it once. I mean, we talked about it ever since. We've had one win since the new decade. Two wins, 2008 and 2016. So we're averaging one win every 8 years, which is not good.
Not very good on the Ryder Cup perspective from the Americans, but we need the fans there, because here's the thing. You can almost guarantee that when the Americans go across the pond, it's not going to go well.
Well, we haven't won over there since, I mean, we had to pull it up. It was in the 90s. Crash. Exactly. Yeah, we made the joke. Exactly. Yeah. The Family Guy joke. Yeah. So for them to, we definitely need it, because based on those, every other year we lose when it's on our soil. So we're 50-50 here, 0% across the pond. So we need the odds with the 50-50. Well, we're at least 50-50 with a chance to win.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So we need as many fans there as we can. Unfortunately, it will be next year, so at least we don't have to wait 2 years for the Ryder Cup to happen, which I guess is a good thing. But at the same time, team golf is just really fun to watch, and I wish we would have. I really liked your idea so much of having them both be at the same, having them in the same year, President's Cup and Ryder Cup, what I'm referring to, which would have happened in 2021. But they're just pushing everything back a year, so they were able to make that work.
Makes sense logistically.
Exactly.
To do it that way.
It does. And like you said, whatever team would be second on that of the opposite of the U.S. would have a little bit of fit, because it's like you already had experience with team. So I understand that. So it is what it is. But like I said, we won't be hurting for golf content, I don't feel like. Unless for some reason the tournaments get canceled again for a pandemic.
Which would be awful.
Well, yeah, it would be horrible.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's, like I said, even if they have to keep postponing the events where fans are there like they did at the Memorial, which I think will continue to keep going on. I honestly can't picture a time when we'll have fans on the golf course again.
It's like we said on Monday, screw the fans.
They don't need to be. Yeah,
we don't need them.
It's not. While obviously it brings a lot of money to the community wherever the course is and to the event, at the same time, it's shown that it hasn't taken away from the players. I mean, one thing we even talked about, and we didn't even talk about this on Monday, is the Bryson DeChambeau thing about with the cameraman. Remember when?
Yeah.
You know, because he's out there complaining about
threw a fit, and then got mad at the cameraman for having the camera on him.
Yeah, and it's like you're a top. He's officially number 7 in the world now. You're a top 10 golfer in the world, top 10 at your sport, and you don't expect to have a camera on you when you're in competition.
Right. I mean, this one we go back to the old nickname Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, exactly. And while you can look at it from two ways, one, you know, maybe the outside world shouldn't be, you know, criticizing it that much, but at the same time, if you want to be that big of an athlete, you know, then you have to take that responsibility of knowing that a camera's going to be on you at any point, at any time. I mean, that's how Tiger's.
And you can throw a fit.
Yeah.
But the camera's going to be on you.
Yeah. And if people
wouldn't be the first guy to throw a fit with a camera on him.
And if people get mad at you, you just need to suck it up and just go out and win by three shots or two shots like you did.
Exactly.
This last weekend.
Three.
Hey, you won by three?
Yeah, okay, 23 to 20.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. I thought it was 22. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was 22.
Wolf needed a field goal late. Couldn't get it.
Missed the 47-yarder.
The 47-yarder.
We had the line at minus 2.5.
Yeah, minus 2.5 was a lot. So Bryson covered.
Exactly. So you get back on that side of it, of if there's fans, no fans, that type of thing. But definitely Ryder Cup needs to have fans. The regular tour events, just keep them going on as long as you can without fans. And I think that's the way we're going to be going forward.
Absolutely. That's Taylor Williams. I am Colby Powell. One thing that we'll be keeping an eye on later this week as well, we will know by Friday at 5 if we will, for the first time since the restart, see Tiger Woods next week at the Memorial Tournament, a tournament that he plays pretty much every year, but we've yet to see him yet. So we don't really know how long he's waiting to get on the course. I mean, we're kind of getting to the point. Today, Taylor, is July 8th, so the Memorial Tournament will finish on July 19th. PGA starts August 6th. You would think that Tiger would play some competitive golf before the PGA Championship, and I fully expect it to be next week at the Memorial Tournament. So I think we'll see Tiger next week, but we'll know by Friday at 5. So keep an eye out for that announcement. And if Tiger is there next week, that'll create a ton of buzz for the Memorial. And I hope he's there because, man, I want to watch him play.
Yeah, well, and you look at the schedule. So this week we have the work day. Then, like you mentioned, next week's the Memorial Tournament, Jack's Tournament, which I don't see any reason why Tiger wouldn't play that event. Like I said, he's played it how many times now, won there countless times.
He's won it five times.
Yeah,
it seems like three consecutive times. Won it 99, 2000, and 2001.
Yes, yeah, back to back. That was when he, what's really funny is one of his most famous chip-ins is on the 14th hole there where it rolled in. He gave a big fist pump in 99. A lot of people don't realize that was for par because he flubbed his flop shot before that.
And he's got another famous chip in at Memorial in 2012.
That was when he's paired with your boy Ricky Fowler.
Shot he shot 80?
85 or 84.
I think it was 84.
It was something really high.
Yeah.
And
did it right next to Tiger going low winning the tournament.
Yeah, because it was on the 16th hole for Muirfield Village. They redesigned a few of the holes out there a few years ago, and that 16th hole didn't used to have water on it, the par 3. Now it has water in front of the green, so it's a lot harder hole than it used to be. Mm-hmm. Tiger was on the backside of that green in the thick hay shit and then had to hit a flop shot as super high over, you know, two stories high.
Well, it's one of those ones where the announcers talk about how hard the shot is before you hit it.
Yeah. Well, even after after the round and Tiger had won, Jack Nicklaus came out and said it was one of the best shots, if not the best shot you'll ever see anyone hit, because he knew how hard of a shot that was. And so Tiger has had so many great memories here at this course or this tournament. I don't expect and especially because there's been videos coming out of him, you know, playing at other courses, that kind of thing, and his swing looks good on Twitter from the videos that have been posted. So you would think that, you know, it's not a health issue as to why he's not out there. And you look at the schedule. So after the Memorial next week, then we're going into the 3M, which I don't see him playing up in Minnesota. And then after that is the FedEx.
I don't think Tiger's ever been to Minnesota.
He may not have been. Maybe to watch
it. And I don't think it's on his bucket list.
No, unless the Raiders played the Vikings or something, because he's Raiders fan. Other than that, but they're in different divisions, so they may not even play. But then after that, we got the FedEx Invitational, which used to be called the Bridgestone at Firestone. Now it's at TPC Southwind in Memphis. So that
scenic Memphis, Tennessee,
and because you've been there, you've seen it.
It's phenomenal, but might not be as phenomenal right now because Beale Street probably is not Beale Street right now.
Yeah, probably not. And then the week after that, August 6th is the PGA Championship. So that is after the Memorial. There's only two events that he could play to get ready, and one of them would be the week before a major, which he's only done, I believe, when the WGC was the week before the PGA Championship. That's the only time Tiger's ever played the week before a major. So I would expect him to play Memorial a lot more than I would even a WGC event the week before the PGA Championship.
Yeah, I would too.
So I expect he has to get at least one round in. So yeah, if there's not an announcement by Friday 5 p.m. that if he's not playing, then we have to open up a whole nother can of worms as to why he's not.
Yeah, I think that if he doesn't play next week, it almost guarantees he plays Memphis. I don't think he's going to tee it up at Harding Park, having not teed it up since Genesis?
Thanks.
Is that his last event? Was Genesis?
Yeah, because he didn't play Mexico.
Yeah, and he shot a billion over on the weekend, wasn't playing the Players, wasn't playing at Arnie's place at Bay Hill. Yep. So, yeah, hadn't played since the restart. So, we'll see if Tiger winds up in the field next week. Moving ahead to this week's event, obviously it's at Muirfield Village. So, kind of the thing to do is look back at the Memorial Tournament, look at guys who've had success at Memorial. Now, I have read kind of rumors where maybe they're going to set the course up a little bit easier this week and then set the course up a little bit tougher next week for the Memorial. So, I don't really know if that bodes well or poorly for anyone, but I mean, there's some guys, some previous winners in this field. Patrick Cantlay won it last year. Hideki Matsuyama, of course, won it in 2014. That was the year that he went mega low on the weekend and fired, what was it, a 61 on Sunday?
Something like that. Yeah, he went off. Yeah, he went off on him. Yeah, and he's played pretty well at this course going back. I can get his exact record here in just 1 second. I'm going to pull it up. I mean, yeah, he's...
Yeah, Justin Rose in the field too, who's been phenomenal. Justin Rose has 3 missed cuts at this course. Other than that, let's see, the 8 times that he's made the cut, he's finished inside the top 13. 13 is his worst finish.
Yeah, John. So he has a tremendous record here. He's a guy that I like this weekend. Yeah, you were just mentioning Hideki. He's, of his finishes, he has a first, a fifth, a sixth, and a 13th. And that's he's played there six times. The other one, he finished 45th and he had one missed cut back in 2016. So four out of six times he's been here, he's finished inside the top 13. And if we ever misspeak during this, if we say the event, we mean the course because it's at Muirfield Village.
Yes.
You know, so it's not, we're not looking at John Deere Classic or any of those.
We're looking at course history at Memorial.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And one thing that we can get into, Colby, that I think would be interesting is that, you know, Muirfield greens, you know, I haven't studied them, you know, extensively. I don't have the yardage book in front of me with how they slope, but
bent,
you know, they are bent. I do know that. So, but with you having back-to-back tournaments, so you have four different rounds each, that's eight different rounds. So all of a sudden you would think, can these greens hold eight? How many greens out there can hold eight different pin locations? I don't think it's very many of them, you know, because Muirfield's known for being a tougher course, yeah. Got some undulating greens. So are you going to see certain spots on these greens get beat up, you know, at Memorial next
week?
Question. Because I, you know, obviously you can mix them around a little bit, you know, maybe put the pin 4 feet away from a spot you did the other day or the previous week. But at the same time, I think it's going to be tough to see a whole lot of difference in course setup. I mean, you can, because you're not going to be able to narrow the fairways, you know, before at any different. The only thing you'd be able to do is not mow the rough, you know, the next week, that right. kind of thing. So the rough may be longer.
So maybe they'll do that.
They could.
Maybe between Sunday and Thursday, they just don't touch it.
Yeah.
Just let it go a little
bit. Let it get thick. They may do something like that. I don't know how much different they could make the course set up. It's Muirfield's a really long course. I think it could stretch over up to 7,400, maybe even 7,500. And so maybe they could play the tees up this week, that type of thing. We were looking at the strength of field earlier. We mentioned last week how the strength of field was only a 298. Didn't even get to the 300 mark. This week it was a 498, I believe. It was 498, not 598.
498.
Right? 498. Yeah. Because yep. Last year it was 590 something. The memorial was. So this field is about 100 world ranking points less than the traditional Memorial tournament, but compared to the John Deere, or now it's called the Workday, or, you know, since the
this is a not, much better field than that would be.
Yeah, 100%, because it's also not the week before the Open Championship. So we're getting, not only are we getting a better field than we would in the past, but we're also getting a pretty better field than we got even last week with Bryson and some of those other guys that were in the field.
Yeah, it's a really good field. We've got John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Cantlay, Patrick Reed, Xander Schauffele, Justin Rose, Mark Leishman has had a ton of success here. Kuchar's in the field. Gary Woodland, Oosthuizen, Sungjae, Hideki, Shane Lowry, Matthew Fitzpatrick, who, by the way, we've got news. We've got Fitzy news. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was scrolling through PJ Tour and social media last night, and I saw where old Jim Bones Mackay is going to be on Matthew Fitzpatrick's bag this week. And who knows how long this will continue. Essentially, the story is that Fitzpatrick's caddy is back across the pond because of the COVID thing, not wanting to travel across. He had another caddy for him for these first few tournaments, and not sure exactly what happened, but nevertheless, whether it was Fitzpatrick reached out to Mackay, I think the way I was reading it, Bones reached out to Fitzpatrick to see if he needed any help, and he's going to be on the bag this week, so that'll be cool to see Bones get back into it, because I mean, I don't know about you, Colby, I've liked Bones as a on course announcer.
He's been phenomenal.
I thought he's been really great.
Yeah, he's been great.
Getting a lot of really good insight then, so it'll kind of stink not to have him out there, but also too, you know, a lot of these tournaments are CBS affiliated, so he hasn't even been out there a whole lot. So, but I will like to see him see how Fitzpatrick does this week, because I like Fitzpatrick as a player anyway. He's been he's had fairly, now he's only played here once and he made the cut barely on the number, missed the cut last week. Before that, he'd finished.
Missed cut 2 weeks ago at the Travelers.
Two weeks ago, I'm yep. sorry, not last week. Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right. And then did not play last week. And he finished 14th at RBC and 32nd at Colonial. Charles Schwab Colonial. And so was had a little bit of form, had a missed cut, has taken a week off coming back. He's someone's game who I always like, kind of one of those guys. He's not a very, he's still considered a very young guy that doesn't get mentioned with the young guns a lot. And
how old is he? He doesn't get mentioned because he hasn't won over here.
Yeah, and so he's he's top 35 player in the world, and I think he's younger than we are, Colby.
He is 25. He was born on September 1st, 1994.
He's a 25-year-old ranked number 26 in the world, and he hardly ever gets mentioned up there with the young guns. I mean, and so I've always liked his game, and I think it'll be interesting to see how if Bones is able to help him play well this week, because at at this turn or at this course, I'm sorry, he's only played here once and made the cut essentially and almost finished DFL, finished in 68th. So it'll be interesting to see if he's able to play well with Bones on the bag, because I don't know if that'll put any type of, maybe, I don't know if you feel any type of spotlight on him having a superstar caddy, because there's, you know, we have great respect for the caddies, but besides
love the caddies,
but you know, besides the guys like Stevie, Fluff, and Bones, you know, there's not a whole lot of big name caddies out there, and Bones is one of the big name caddies. So you know, right. You know, so you would think, you know, what's kind of going on Fitzpatrick's head, maybe he'll get that extra confidence having someone with Bones' experience on the bag. But and I would have to go back and look at it. I was reading up on, I don't know the exact result, but I don't think Phil has had a whole lot of success here. He's only had, looks at it, he's only had one top 10 since 2008. I finished fifth in 2010. He has a couple of top 25s. He has a missed cut. So, I mean, he's been able to get it around this course, but yet hasn't, you know, he hasn't, obviously hasn't won it and hasn't finished better than fifth. Next best finish is a 13th. So, you know, who knows if that has anything to do with it. So it's not like Phil's won here eight times or something like that and right. Getting the caddy from there. So that'll be something to look forward to. But I just think that is an interesting headline, getting Bones back out there, just because, like I mentioned, he's one of the kind of fewer big name caddies. You know, when you hear a caddy's name, you know exactly who you're thinking of.
Yeah, and everybody loves Bones. So it'll be cool to have Bones out there with Fitzpatrick this week. We'll see how that all goes. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back on the other side. We'll give you all of our favorite picks for this week. We've got DraftKings. We've got our ideal lineups, pardon me. We've got our picks to win this week, all that good stuff. It's all coming up next. Stay with us here on the 73rd Hole.
When something the size of a golf ball hits your roof, you need to call McRae Roofing. McRae Roofing is Oklahoma's designer roofing service specialist. For years, Jeff McRae and the experienced team at McRae Roofing and Exteriors have served fellow Oklahomans by helping them with their roofing needs. McRae Roofing uses only top quality materials and professional crews to make sure that each job is done right, so it will give you the years of service, security, and protection you need from the unpredictable Oklahoma weather. McRae Roofing offers residential and commercial roofing, ventilation services, and custom copper designs. McRae Roofing is dedicated to exceeding the homeowner's expectations. It's not just a roof, it is your home's crowning glory. Call McRae Roofing today at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000. Make sure to also visit their website at mcraeroofing.com. That's M-C-R-A-Y roofing.com. Don't get caught with a leaking roof. Contact McRae Roofing for your free inspection today.
Welcome back in. Rolling along here on the 73rd hole, getting ready for the Workday Charity Open this week at Muirfield Village in Ohio. Muirfield Village, once again, hosting back-to-back PGA Tour events. Should be fun to watch these guys go at the same course in consecutive weeks. It's a little bit different, Taylor. It's a little bit weird, but I'm actually kind of looking forward to it, kind of looking forward to how the course plays one week as opposed to the next, and just kind of seeing how they set it up, the different players in the field. Can anybody, you know, we were joking before we came on the air, what if one guy wins it back-to-back weeks? That would be absolutely wild. You know, Cantlay has a ton of course success here. Rose, Leishman's had some success here. Matsuyama, some guys who like this place. If one of those guys were to win back-to-back weeks, that would be pretty crazy. But let's go ahead and dive into some of our favorite picks of the week. You want to do our ideal DraftKings lineup? Gosh, if I can talk today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's do the ideal DraftKings, and we'll just do it like we have been, where we'll kind of do a little snake draft type deal. Do you want to go from most expensive, least expensive, or vice versa?
Let's go most to least.
Okay, I'll lead it off here. So most expensive.
Don't be stealing my expensive picks either.
I'll do my best not to. We have not looked at these yet, so we don't know if they're the same or not. So
yeah, no idea.
Who knows? We might have all the same six players. Who would know? The odds of that happening are probably pretty slim. But my top pick looks like he is the 1, 2, 3. He is the fifth most expensive guy this week. I'm going with Schauffele.
Really?
Yeah, I like
Schauffele's your most expensive. And what's he going for this week?
He has $10,200. And okay. So I like, I've liked what I've seen from him. There was, like I said, he didn't play particularly well at Harbortown. Sorry, I'm getting my courses mixed up here. But since the return, he finished third at Colonial, like I just was trying to mention, and then got it twisted. And then at Travelers up in Connecticut, he finished 20th and took off last week. And so he's just one of those players who's just playing so well. He's up there. I'm going to find exactly where he is. He's 10th on the tour and strokes gained tee to green. I like what I see from Schauffele, and that is going to be, he is my most expensive guy this week. Missed the cut in 2018 here at the Memorial, but finished 14th last year. So I'm going to ride with that, and I got a feeling about Schauffele for some reason this week. I think he's going to have a really good week.
Okay, I kind of looked at Schauffele, but I wasn't over the moon about him, so I didn't take Xander this week. Number one for me, it's a guy who just, man, he loves this course. You look at his stats here are unreal. I mean, he's first in the field this week in almost every stat going back the past few years at Muirfield Village. Last 3 years, he's finished 35th, 4th, and 1st at the Memorial Tournament. Give me Patrick Cantlay at 10,600. The only guys more expensive than Cantlay, I believe, are JT and Rahm. Yeah, Justin Thomas is 11-1. Yes. Rahm's 10-9. So give me Cantlay at 10-6 as my most expensive. And then for my second most expensive guy, I'm going to go with the guy who won back here in 2014, which is Hideki Matsuyama. He's going for 10,000 this week on DraftKings. Hideki's big-time hit or miss because Hideki could have 25 putts in a round and shoot 61. Hideki could have 40 putts in a round and shoot 76. So you just never know what you're going to get with Hideki. But I like him this week. He likes this place. So give me Hideki at 10,000. I'm going pretty top heavy with Cantlay and Hideki.
Well, you stole my second most expensive pick there. So we already got one that's exactly the same. So I got Matsuyama as my second most expensive as well. You kind of hit the nail on the head with your insight there. Looking back on, he's played this course six times for the Memorial. Four of the six he's finished in the top 13, three of which, one back in 2014, like you mentioned, finished fifth in 2015. Last year, finished sixth at the Memorial at Muirfield Village. So yeah, I'm going to ride with him. Finished 20th last week at the Travelers, and kind of was, from what I finished 21st, I'm sorry, at Rocket Mortgage. Yeah, finished 21st. So he's kind of, from what I saw, he had it rolling and then kind of got down, then got hot. And so, like you said, he's very, very streaky guy, but I expect the streak to ride this week. Or at least I think he'll go this week. And like we had mentioned before, you know, maybe with a lot of these guys playing next week, you know, hopefully we're not just a week early on these guys who have played well at this course. So hopefully that's not the case. But Matsuyama will be my second most expensive. And then my third most expensive, since we went a little top heavy, I had to go a little bit cheaper there. My next pick, next cheapest, is 7,900. And that is old Ben On will be my next guy. He has, since the return of golf, he has not finished better than 46th.
You could say he's been off.
Exactly. I like it.
That's bad.
No,
it's so bad it's good.
Exactly. He went so far to the opposite that it made it right. So I love that. But so since he's returned, he's finished 60th at Charles Schwab, missed the cut at RBC, and then at the Travelers, he finished 46th. Took a week off last week. But at the Memorial Tournament, he's played it four times, has not finished worse than 25th.
Pretty good.
Pretty good value
at 7,900.
Horse for course type of guy. Doesn't have quite the form, but we've seen it a few times at some of these other tournaments where these guys haven't necessarily had the form, but they get it on a course that they like, and all of a sudden they play well. So I'm going to go ahead and ride with On. I kind of had some other cheap, not necessarily super cheap guys that I liked, but some guys right around the 7,500 mark that I liked and the top heavy guys. So he kind of fit right in there with, I was kind of debating between a couple guys, but off that course success that he's had here, I'm going to go ahead and roll with that. And hopefully he doesn't finish. If he finishes worse than 25th, he'll have his worst finish on this course that he's ever had. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen. And I'm looking to Mark Leishman for my next pick at 8,700. Another guy who's played well here in the past. Mark Leishman, the past five trips to the Memorial to Muirfield Village, 5th, 11th, 15th, 62nd in 2018, far and away his worst finish the last 5 years, and then 5th in 2019. So Leishman likes this place, usually finds himself in contention here. So I like Leishman at 8,700.
He's kind of like On. He's missed the cut at Colonial, and then at the Travelers, he finished 58th. So hasn't necessarily had the best form.
But he's about to pop.
But he's a horse for course.
Horse for course, he's fixing to pop. So then, obviously, I went 10-6, 10,000, and then 8,700. So I got to go a little cheaper with my next three. So my next most expensive at 7,100. I've got two guys, but I'll start with Max Homa. Max Homa at 7,100. I think that he's played really good golf most of the year. Now, recently, not as great since the restart, but he still hits his irons incredibly well. If he can get the putter rolling, missed the cut at Colonial, missed the cut at Travelers, 41st at RBC. Most of that, I think, is putter-induced. I think he gets on these nice bent green bent grass greens at the Memorial. Played here once, played here last year, finished 37th. So at 7,100, I think you're getting pretty good value on Max Homa, a guy that before the restart, you were probably having to pay closer to 8,400 on DraftKings.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was on a roll before the Corona and everything started. So that's not a bad pick there. And like I said, he hasn't necessarily had his best stuff since then, but he's kind of getting back into form. So hopefully that happens. So my next two guys, I mentioned it earlier, there's two guys right at the $7,500 mark that I liked. The first one I'll mention is old Harold Varner, who has since the return of golf, he has finished 19th at Colonial, missed the cut at Harbortown, finished 32nd at the Travelers, finished 30th at the Rocket Mortgage. He and Varner is actually number 14 on tour in strokes gained tee to green. So for a guy at 7,500, I'm going to go ahead and ride that wave. And so his course record here is not particularly bad. Missed the cut last year in 2019, but made the cut in 2016 when he was just getting out here and finished 19th in 2017. So for 7,500 and for a guy who's 14th on the tour in strokes gained tee to green, I'm going to go ahead and let that one ride. And then the next guy,
my original DraftKings lineup had Harold Varner III in it. I changed it. I went back and tweaked. I'm a tweaker.
You think long, think wrong. But you have had the winner last 3 weeks in some capacity, betting wise especially. So
betting wise, not so much as far as DraftKings goes. My DraftKings lineups haven't been great, even though I've been betting on the winner. I've had too many missed cuts lately on DraftKings, so hopefully I'm not putting a bad omen on guys like Homa and my next couple that I'll give you.
No, you're not. You're probably putting more on Cantlay or whoever your top pick was. More than likely, he'll probably end up doing it, which has been happening. But my next guy, since we're doing the snake draft, 7,500, exact same price. Mentioned him a couple times on the show and has been playing well. Maverick McNealy. Finished 8th last week at the Rocket Mortgage. Has not missed a cut since the return of competition. Finished 32nd at the Charles Schwab. 58th at Harbortown, but yet is still a made cut. And for 7,500, a guy who keeps having those good finishes and playing well, another young guy who's going to be, just keeps on getting better and better. Seems like every time he goes out there, I'm gonna ride that wave for a guy who's technically my second cheapest guy, or tied for second cheapest guy.
The wave I'm riding is Brian Stewart, a guy that I've used a couple times since the restart. He's one of only a handful of guys who've made all four cuts since the restart. Finished 43rd at Charles Schwab, 52nd at RBC, and then 20th at the Travelers, 30th at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Guy who's just pretty steady. Pretty steady. He's made the cut the last 5 years at the Memorial, and he's 7,100. So I like Brian Stewart. I think that's pretty good value on a guy who doesn't have a big name, but has played some pretty good golf lately. And then I had to go cheap. I had to go 6,500 or cheaper for my next guy. And the best value I found at that level was Steve Stricker. And Steve Stricker, I know what you're thinking. Steve Stricker, old man Stricker, whatever. He missed the cut at Charles Schwab Challenge. And then last week at Rocket Mortgage, he finished 67th. But Steve Stricker, since 2008, has played this tournament all but, I believe, 3 years is what I'm seeing here. He's made the cut every single time. Finished 22nd at the Memorial last year. Won the Memorial in 2011. It's going to be playing maybe, I think, a little bit shorter this week than it will be next week at the Memorial, which I think could bode well for Steve Stricker. He's a phenomenal putter. So at 6,300, I had to find some mega value, and I went with old man Stricker. So that's my pick.
Yeah. He's a great low value pick there. And what did you say he was? 6,300.
6,300. Yeah.
That's pretty cheap for him. So then I have one guy left, and my cheapest is a couple of weeks I've gone with someone cheaper. This week I've had a little bit tougher time finding some value. I haven't hit on some of my value this last week, so some of the guys have kind of scared me away. But my cheapest guy is 6,900. I'm going with Pat Perez, who he's played three times since the return, has made the cut in two of them. The only cut he did not make was at Harbortown, and he does have a good record at this course. I'm trying to find it. I had it pulled up here, and because I want to get it exactly right. But nevertheless, yeah, he has a good record here. Hasn't necessarily had his particularly best stuff. I mean, this is a guy who a lot of people don't remember, Pat Perez. I mean, he was up to top 12 or 15 in the world at one point in time, I believe 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, he had it rolling, and so he's kind of slipped back. You know, he's kind of a funny guy, kind of a known as a, not necessarily a partier, but likes to have a good time, one of those people. So I expect him. He's had course record here is pretty well. So
He's never missed the cut at the Memorial. He's played it, 11 times since 2008, and he's never missed the cut.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So for a guy who is going to run at 6,900, like I said, not necessarily his best stuff, but we're going with a horse for courses guy, like kind of like we have on some of these other picks. I'm gonna ride with that. So have you you don't have anyone cheaper than Stricker? That's all six of them right
there.
That's
all six. Yeah.
So read yours off straight, and I'll read mine off.
So real quick, Cantlay, Matsuyama, Leishman, Homa, Stewart, and Stricker. That's my six. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Mine's Schauffele, Matsuyama, Ben On, McNeely, Harold Varner, and Perez.
It's only one overlap between the two of us, which is Hideki. And yes. Hideki's going to be a popular pick this week.
He will be.
A lot of people are going to be on Hideki. I know Rose, Cantlay, also very popular. A guy that I haven't seen a ton of people really on this week that I kind of like, and I will probably put $10 on him or something in Vegas. I know I make fun of this guy a lot. It's all in good fun. I think Ricky has a decent chance this week. I really do. His last 3 years at the Memorial, 2nd, 8th, and 14th, and whatever he was tinkering with at Charles Schwab and RBC Heritage, he ended up finishing 12th last week at the Rocket Mortgage, despite having a pretty rough Friday where he had to make some late birdies to make the cut. So I think Ricky's got a chance this week, and I know that that's like the call of doom, putting yourself out on an island and taking Ricky, but I think Ricky's got a pretty decent chance. I'm not going to use him in the one and done, but I still like his chances this week.
Yeah, no, you mentioned that. Yeah, he's had good record here in the past, and Ricky, you know, we can't talk about how many ever times. He just is such a polarizing name and just doesn't seem like he can, just hasn't been able to get it done in some of the bigger events, but did finish 12th last week, and so has got a little bit of form going on, did miss the cut in the first two events back at Colonial and Harbortown, but was able to find a little something last week and at a place that he's played well the last 3 years, did have a stretch there where he missed the cut a little bit, but at the same time, he's been able to find something over the last few years. So yeah, I think Ricky does have a chance to play well here, and for his DraftKings value at what he's fairly at 9,000 exactly. So I mean, that's not too bad for a guy who's, like I said, played well here and coming off of a top 12 finish. So that's not a bad pick there.
Yeah, absolutely. So some of your DraftKings value plays before I get to my favorite bets of the week.
Yeah. So some value, like I said, it was a little tougher. Some of the bottom of the barrel guys nothing really necessarily stuck out to me. Your Stricker pick is not bad. I kind of said we call him old man Stricker, but has played well here at this course. A couple guys I like who I didn't take. I'll go ahead and give off my one and done pick. I'm gonna pick this guy in our official one and done pool, not our podcast one and done pool. At 7,700, I'm going with Joel Damon. I think he's going to have a really good week. He's someone like Varner, who I mentioned was 14th in strokes gained tee to green. Damon sits right above him at 13th. And so for 7,700, I think that's a guy that you can't, it's just hard to find much better value than that. And the reason that I'm going to go with him in our official one and done pool is the difference in purse between these two tournaments at the same course is this week the purse is 6.2 million and next week the purse is 9.3 million.
What's the winner get this week?
It is going to be at 6.2. It is going to be, last year it was the same as the John Deere. Dylan Fratelli one got just a little under 1.1 million.
Okay.
Compared to next week, which Cantlay last year got over 1.6.
Yeah.
So the winners gets more than half $1 million more for winning. So that's why we mentioned earlier, if you're thinking about using one of your big guns, if you have anyone left, go ahead and I would save them for next week if you think they'll do better. So that's why I'm going to run out Damon in our official one and done pool. I'll go ahead and use someone different in our podcast, someone I used actually earlier in the year who actually you have in your DraftKings lineup who I like, who I'll end up using in my one and done for our podcast, so I'll stick with that. Some of the other cheaper guys scrolling down, your close personal friend Matt Wallace finished 12th last week. He's 7,200. I'm not exactly sure, you know, kind of he's been a hit or miss type guy. You know, he wasn't playing particularly well, finished his best finish before last week 12th since the return was 64th, has not played the Memorial either, but just one of those guys who we saw last year just has so much talent and so much capability, and I think that he's finally kind of twisting in and getting a figured out and will have a chance to make things happen. Another guy who I like, let me find him scrolling down here. I've already mentioned Pat Perez, and another guy who might do well is old man Furyk. I mean, he finished 6,900, made the cut last week. You're getting around that area where you're not, you know, you're kind of wanting someone to play well, but you're kind of just kind of scrapping at the bottom of the barrel to figure out what you want. Has finished 33rd at the Memorial last year, missed the cut 2 years before that, but previous to that, 2016 to 2008, only missed the cut once in between those stretches. So I think for a kind of a cheaper guy, I think Furyk would be a way to go. You kind of went with the Stricker old guy, kind of went with the Furyk old man feel. So that's not that's kind of the route that we're going. And then, you know, you scroll down even further. Like I said, you already mentioned Stricker, who's probably a pretty good guy. Another guy who we talk about all the time on the show, and he had to withdraw last week, unfortunately, and hopefully he'll get it turned around if you want to throw it on him, is Taylor Gooch, 6,400. I mean, that's the cheapest he's been on DraftKings in some
time. He's been hovering right around 7.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And after one withdrawal, they bumped him down to 64.
Exactly. So I mean, if you're looking for someone, a little bit of value, who was playing so well before the break, has been trying to get everything figured out since then, he could be a guy that you want to run out. And then one last guy who I think may have a chance to do something is Jamie Lovemark at 6,300. And this is like I said, these are guys, if you're just kind of going at the bottom of the barrel type thing, Lovemark has played the Travelers and the Rocket Mortgage since the return, missed the cut in both of them. But at the Memorial, has played it 3 times and has not missed the cut. In 2007, he finished 10th. So for someone who's played it 3 times, made the cut 3 times for 6,300, if you're looking for someone to kind of build around, like you said, you went pretty top heavy, so that might be someone to throw in there. But as for me, I wanted to kind of stick around that middle mark, that middle ground mark, where I pick a couple big guys. Like I said, I'm feeling confident about Schauffele this week, and obviously a lot of people have Matsuyama. Rose is up there at 9,700, and then Hovland, 9,500, has been playing so well since the return. So you can kind of build your lineup anywhere around there you like. I just feel like this is one of those weeks where the middle tier guys, like for example, even like a Cameron Champ at 7,700, who's been playing well over the since he has come back to the tour. He had that the positive negative test fiasco or whatever.
He's kind of a popular pick this week. I was looking around this morning at all of like the big websites and stuff that do their previews, and Champ is a pretty popular pick there.
Yeah, and so he's 7,700. He's actually up there in strokes gained tee to green as well. He's having a pretty good year. He's 20th on the tour, strokes gained tee to green, which is saying something, you know, considering he hits it a long ways, but he's actually able to get it around the greens and get it on the green, so it's just a matter of how he putts. So I think guys around that middle mark, my other picks, Varner and McNealy, are right around that middle mark, and so I think this is a week to kind of build around the middle tier guys as opposed to the bottom of the barrel. But I do think there are a handful of guys down there at the bottom who, if you are trying to go top heavy like you did, Colby, I think you could end up rolling with.
Yeah, I know that I noticed that neither one of us went with Justin Thomas or John Rahm in our lineup. It's to me, it's just a lack of value with those guys when there's so many guys that have played well here. You know, obviously JT and Rahm are probably the two best players in this field, undoubtedly the two best players. Maybe you could argue Koepka, although Koepka, you know, since the majors of last year, has struggled for a while, had the injury, still trying to get going now after the restart. He did have the, I believe, what was he, tied for 7th at the RBC Heritage just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, 7th at the RBC Heritage a couple of weeks ago. Didn't start at the Travelers, didn't play last week at Rocket Mortgage, but not a ton of value with those three guys at the top. I don't think Rahm, JT, and Brooks Koepka. The guys that I am looking to bet this week, you know, every week I allot about $60 to bet on golf. Some weeks I'll put $20 on three guys, $10 on six guys, some 20s, some fives, whatever. I really, really like Cantlay, Matsuyama, and Rose. Those are the three that I really like this week. So I think I might put, let's say, $10 on Cantlay, Rose, who else did I say? Matsuyama. And then the other guys that I like Ricky at 30-1. I think you're getting good value there. That's what I like. I like looking for good value. And then some guys lower down the board that I like. I think you've got some decent value with Leishman at 40-1. So I might be playing Leishman this week as well at 40-1. And then if you scroll even further down, I'm really having trouble to find who every week I like to throw 10 on a long shot, because you never know whenever a long shot is going to come through and hit. And this week, Cameron Champ, 70-1. He gets hot with the putter. You never know. Joel Damon, it seems like, is due to win on the PGA Tour. He's 80-1 this week. Ryan
Wow. Orton, see, because yeah. The side I have him at is 66-1.
Really? So, yeah, I'm showing him at 80-1 right now. So good value. Really good value. Yeah. Not a ton of guys, I don't think, in the 100 or more to 1 range. You know, a guy like Mark Hubbard has played well lately, but can you really count on Mark Hubbard to win a golf tournament? I don't really think so. So I think probably as low as I would go would be Joel Damon at that 80-1 mark. Scottie Scheffler is another guy that I've seen on the previews this week that a lot of people like. He went 79-65 the first two rounds last week.
14 shot difference. Is that not crazy?
It is wild. Absolutely wild. So, you know, I don't necessarily love Scheffler, but I think if you're looking for long shot value, it's Cameron Champ and then Joel Damon at 80-1. But the guys at the top that I really like, that I know for sure I'm playing, are Patrick Cantlay, Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Rose, and Ricky Fowler. Those four, for sure, I'll be betting on. And then I'll probably sprinkle some on those two guys lower with Cameron Champ and Joel Damon. So those are probably my favorite bets of the week. And again, I'm on a three game winning streak, so there, see if we can keep it rolling.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so you're kind of staying away from the JT. I'm seeing 11-1 and Rahm 12-1 are what I'm seeing. So staying away from those. I got Matsuyama at 14-1. I like that. My Schauffele, who I like, is 16-1. Hovland, someone's 22-1. Just kind of going through some here for comparison. Someone who I think we'd both stay away from is Spieth at 35-1. I'm not sure that we would be
hard pass,
but probably wouldn't feel too confident doing that. Go down on some of the other picks that I mentioned who may be long shots. So you said you saw Damon at 80-1. I'm seeing him at 66-1. So if you can find him at the 80-1 mark, that is fantastic. And then we were mentioning him earlier, Matthew Fitzpatrick with Bones on the Bag is 50-1. I'm seeing another guy. If you want another long shot, Harold Varner, who I got in my DraftKings line, 90-1. I'm showing. So that would be an interesting, you know, lay $10 on to win.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. I don't bet Harold Varner to win golf tournaments. I just he's shown
well,
me.
Well, he hasn't done it yet.
He's shown me that he's a really good player, but I don't think that he has the minerals to get it done on a Sunday until he proves me otherwise.
Well, that's why he's 90-1 though. You know,
right.
Exactly.
No, you're right.
So you know, if we're looking at guys who, you know, when you scroll down this far, who, like I said, they, according to Vegas, they play this tournament 90 times. Varner would win at one of them. So you know, just under a 1% chance to win, or a little over 1% chance to win. I'm sorry. So you know, we're just kind of going down bottom of the barrel kind of guys. I mentioned Matt Wallace earlier, 100-1. Looking at someone like that, but more than likely, I think you're right. I think it's going to be one of these bigger names. Even a guy who I wouldn't pick, but even like Morikawa at 28-1, he hasn't been playing very well, but he's up there. I just kind of think it's just going to be one of those leaderboards where it won't necessarily be top heavy. I just think it's going to be surprised to see any of these other guys make it up there. I just feel like it, you know, with Thomas, Rahm, Matsuyama, you know, depends what kind of mood Kepka's in, but even Hovland playing so well, Rose has figured it out since he switched equipment back, and then, you know, Leishman's played so well here. I think it's going to be, you know, kind of one of those guys that's going to end up kind of separating themselves.
But Jason Day.
Yes,
Jason Day, the Aussie.
What are you seeing him at? I saw him at, I was getting him at 66-1 right here.
Yeah, I'm showing him at 70, so close.
About the same, yeah. I mean, like we mentioned last week, missed the cut by one. He played in that in the Wednesday thing with Varner, Bubba, mm-hmm. and Wesley Bryan.
Very average course history here.
Exactly. Which is weird because he's a member here.
Yeah.
Is interesting.
Couple finishes in the 40s, couple finishes in the 30s, the 20s, four missed cuts, plays this event pretty much every year. Like you said, he's a member here. He's is he from Ohio or does he live there now? I think he's Australian, but he went to college near where?
He didn't go to college. No, he turned pro when he was like 17.
Yeah, okay.
I think he just lives up there for maybe for the hell of it.
He and the wife and kids now live in the area. What's
Somewhere.
His wife's name? Ellie. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ellie and then the kids, Dash and I don't remember the daughter.
I think they have three. They might have three now.
Do they?
I don't know.
No wonder his back hurts. Good Lord.
That's kind of what I was thinking. He's having a little too much fun off the course is what it sounds like. But no, that's Jason Day. He's the guy I'm staying away from. It's just so weird. Think about it. Could you have imagined 3 years ago being able to get Jason Day in a tournament like this for 66-1 odds?
Yeah, in a tournament with a sub-500 field strength?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so it is crazy. And so to see where he's gone, it is a shame. Hopefully he'll be able to get it back before too long. Only has three kids, Dash, Lucy, and Arrow. Is the third name. So yeah,
didn't know they had an Arrow.
So yeah, I know they had. I thought they had a third kid, but I wanted to make sure we weren't wrong on that. So yeah, that might explain it right there, Colby. You know.
All right, let's do this. Let's do our one and done picks for the podcast, shall we? Why don't you
lead because you had the winner last week, so you got to start it off.
Oh, I've got to start it off since I'm leading.
You're used to not leading, so I understand you wanting to go last.
Fair enough.
But now you're up there with after getting a win from DeChambeau, you got it pretty big. And honestly, with this purse, I don't think I could get a win and even catch you.
That's a good question. Yeah, you could. You could. You're less than a million behind.
Okay, so you would have to have a missed cut, though, more than likely.
I mean, there's a 67% chance so far.
Yeah.
I've missed two out of three cuts.
There you go.
I still have a million-dollar lead because I had Bryson last week.
That's what it's all about in the one
Shout
and done.
Shout out Big Bryson.
That's what it's all about.
I'm having a tough time here because there's three guys. I want to use them all in the next 2 weeks. I want to use Hideki, Cantlay, and Rose. So I have to decide which of those three I'm not going to use over the next 2 weeks. I think the guy that I'm going to use this week in our big one and done pulls, that way I don't have all my eggs in the same basket. So in our big one and done pull season long that we do, I'm going to use Cantlay. But for you and I, podcast pool, I'm going to run out Hideki this week. Okay. I think Hideki is the play, and I don't know where I would use him later this season, whereas I feel like Cantlay's more of a consistent performer, so I'll save Cantlay for some time later. So I'm going to run Hideki out this week, try to get me a back-to-back dub.
I like the Hideki pick. Yeah, we're kind of in the same boat, Colby, where it's, you know, because we've never seen anything like this before. Same tournament or same course back-to-back week. Yeah. So then, and for me, it's like we mentioned earlier, the purse being so much higher for this the next week as opposed to this week, I would like to go with someone who's a little lower. But so in our big one and done pool, I went with Damon because I've used up a couple of good guys who didn't have good finishes. Imagine that. And then but I will use someone who I actually have not used. What did I use him earlier this year? No, I have not used him in our big one and done pool, but I'll go ahead and take him this week. Give me Rose. I'm going to take Rose.
You're taking Rose.
Okay. Taking Rose. I was thinking about Cantlay, but you kind of talked me into it there because he's such a great player, top 10 in the world. I might want to save him for a bigger event, a purse that's going to pay out a little bigger than $1.1 million. So I'm going to go with Rose just because also, too, you know, like I said, he missed the cut at the Travelers, but had finished third at Colonial, finished 15th at Harbortown, and has had pretty good success here. Missed the cut three times, but when he's made the cut, hasn't finished worse than 13th, and then he finished 13th once, and other than that, hasn't finished worse than 8th at this course. So I'm going to go ahead and ride with that, a guy who is hit or miss, and who could get back on, who could stay on that form he had when he first came back, or he might get back that form we saw before when he was playing horribly before the break. So I'm going to try to get a guy who's somewhat hot right now, and I say missed the cut, but at least was playing well, showing a little bit of form for a little bit of a cheaper of a purse. Go ahead and give me Rose, and I'll probably save. Might use Cantlay even next week, but I'll go ahead and use Rose this week.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I think we've given out a lot of good picks this week, so I'm looking forward to the golf. Obviously, last week we were playing in the Wachita Valley down at Bushwood, so we didn't get to watch a ton of the Rocket Mortgage Classic. It's going to be about 130 degrees this weekend, so I imagine I'll be watching a few more shots of the Workday Charity Open. I know you've potentially got another tournament that you're playing in this weekend, so we'll see how that all plays itself out. But looking forward to the golf this week, and I would imagine next week's preview will be fairly similar to this one. Obviously, we'll have a different field, so that'll help. Next week, I believe Bryson will be in the field. We hope Tiger will be in the field, so that'll obviously be a huge talking point for everyone going into next week. Second week in a row at Muirfield Village, but hopefully we'll have Tiger out there. A lot of good stuff. You've got Rose. I've got Hideki. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's let it ride.
All right. Good stuff. That's all for today. Hit us up on social media. Give McCray Roofing a call, 405-692-4000. Call Bushwood. Make your tee time, 405-224-1250. Thanks for listening once again to the 73rd Hole.